today, sorry if you've heard this before, we begin, we continue in our Sermon on the Mount series. And we've spoken about true happiness, we've dealt with anger, we've talked about sexual temptation and worry and how to deal with our enemies. And now, today, we're looking at dealing with judgment and hypocrisy. Now, as I said before, it would be great if you could keep the Bible passage open in front of you, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. And it's a phrase we hear in our society all the time, likely one of the more quoted verses of the Bible. Now, going back 20 years or so, the most quoted verse might be 3:16. But in today's pluralistic culture, where religion is seen as private and morality as relative, do not judge or you too shall be judged is taken centre stage in people's quoting. And yet, only a few verses later, in chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the road which leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road which leads to life, and only a few find it." And we also have that very mysterious verse 6, "Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and tear you to pieces." Now, both of those are examples of times when it's right to give judgment. So what's the meaning of today's passage? What is Jesus saying to us for us to apply to our lives today? Well, the kind of judging which Jesus is forbidding is made clear in verse 3. It's hypocritical judging. Jesus is not talking about being sensible and common sense evaluating, but rather he's talking about the times when we can tend to condemn people and look down on others. Jesus does not suggest that we shouldn't make moral judgments. Far from it. We've got to discern right from wrong. We must follow and teach God's commandments. We must proclaim God's loving truth. But Jesus does forbid us from having a critical, judgmental spirit that exalts others, ourselves rather, whilst looking down on others. Now, we might be thinking to ourselves, "I'd never look down on anyone else." Now, of course, we don't mean to. It's not our intention, it's not our heart's desire, it's not our morals. But actually, too easy to do. What about, for example, when we get behind the wheel of a car? Comedian George Carlin said about driving, "Have you ever noticed that anyone going slower than you is an idiot, and anyone going faster is a maniac?" And if it's not driving, which is one that many of us will struggle with at times, it might be an alternative day-to-day situation where we fall into a trap before we've known it and we're looking down on others around us in an unhelpful way. So why are we, as it says in verse 1, and not to judge others? Well, we're not to judge others because we're not qualified for that role. Only God is. None of us know a person's history or background. We don't know how far a person has progressed in their journey. We don't know actually about other people's motives and how they get from one place to another or where they are now. Samuel chapter 16 verse 7 says that people look to the outward appearance, but our Lord looks to the heart. We don't know enough about people to judge them. Only God, who knows everything about everybody, knows enough for that. Now, verse 2 gives us another reason not to judge others in the condemning sense. And that is, it says, because God will judge us in the same way as we judge those around us. And with the measure we use, it will be measured to us also. If we're harsh and overbearing to others, then we'll be judged in the same way. If we're loving and merciful towards others, then God will be loving and merciful towards us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." So verses 3 to 5, Jesus tells us that we should judge ourselves first. And he uses a humorous illustration, which could even have come from his background as a carpenter's son. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Three times in those verses, Jesus uses the words, your own. When we concentrate upon our own sins before God and we grow to be far more generous, we grow to be more loving towards other people about their sins because we're aware of our own. We might sometimes have a tendency to magnify the faults of others and minimize or be blind to our own. But sometimes the failings we hate so much in those around us are actually the ones that lurk most readily in our own lives. I don't know if you've ever found yourself getting cross with somebody else about something and then you stop to think honestly for a moment and realise that's because it's confronting us with something in ourselves as well. Now, if I point my finger, I don't know if you can see on the screen, have a look at my pointing finger. Now, generally, I wouldn't go around pointing at you, but I'm just demonstrating when we point the finger at others, three fingers are pointing back at us. Jesus says, judge ourselves. The reading from today comes just after the end of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus has encouraged us to seek first the kingdom of God. We're not to be fault finders or criticizing or deriding of others. That's like venom to the soul and venom to a community. It destroys our joy and drains our happiness. It prevents us from having close relationships in the way that we were designed to. So instead of focusing on others in a fault finding way, every day we need to be checking our own hearts and our motives, keeping track of where we're at with God and asking him to help us first to do better. We are to go before God, as it says in Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24, saying, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See there is an offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We're to continually be in a position where we repent and we ask forgiveness and change before we are in a position to help others. So it's hypocritical to care about the sins of others more than our own. It's hypocritical because we're appearing to care about the other person when we actually may not. And we sometimes are called by God to help others with the things that they're struggling with, but we need to be really clear that we've examined what's going on with us when we're seeking to help a person. Are we trying to help because we really care about that person's sin? Is it truly to help them and bring God glory? Or are we in a wrong motive slightly, trying to make ourselves feel better? It's hypocritical for any of us to place ourselves in the role of judge because all of us have sins of our own. We can't help others with their sins until we've addressed ours because that's the attitude of our heart we need to have. Now, we don't have to be perfect because this would be impossible. We just have to be in the right frame of mind and right heart with the Lord. The speck in our brother or sister's eye that we're trying to help with will still be removed, and still needs removing, but it needs removing at a time when we're ready to help with this. The other side of this is that truly loving each other is being accountable to each other, challenging each other over our sins. But it's really important to approach this in a caring way. If you think about Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul wrote, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. And Billy Graham was quoted once as saying, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, my job to love. So there are also, in spite of everything we've been saying about hypocrisy and not judging, there are times when we do need to say something to somebody about a poor behaviour. But we do so in love, we do so in care, and we do so having checked our own hearts and making sure we remember our own position before God as we do. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's God's job to judge. And it's our job to love. Ray Richard suggests a really simple checklist for our approach if we do try to help somebody with struggles. We're to think, is this conversation really needed? So need is like, I think it's called an acronym. It might not be an acronym, but need. N, is it necessary? E, will it encourage? E, will it edify? And D, will it dignify the other person? N, is it necessary? E, will it encourage? E, will it edify? And D, will it dignify the other person? And if the answer to some of these questions is no, then we should think really, really carefully and prayerfully before entering the discussion. Now, the reason Jesus uses the illustration of the eye in that verses, in those verses, is because just as with relationships, the eye is enormous and sensitive. It takes a compassionate and delicate touch, a compassionate hand and a delicate touch to do eye surgery. Think how careful you have to be. When you have eye trouble, you need a doctor who knows what they're doing, because even the slightest mistake might have terrible consequences. And sometimes in our haste to help others, we can cause more damage than the original speck of dust. We need to be really aware of this. We need to be humble and prayerful, remaining close to God as we do try to help somebody else in this position. And we're following Jesus' example as we do so. After telling us the truth about our sins, brought us close and made us his friends, and showed in no uncertain terms that he loved us. So, what about verse 6? What about those who refuse to be helped? Well, this is tricky and it's hard because it goes against the grain, but basically it's saying we can't force the gospel on people. Well, that bit we understand, but we sometimes wish in a way that people would catch on because it's so good. But Jesus is warning us that there are some people who will not accept his good news. And when somebody continually and consistently rejects the gospel or our attempts to help them, sometimes it's time to move on. It can be our default position as Christians to bear Jesus' light and witness to him, and that's our way we should be all the time. But we are to leave those who deliberately refuse the gospel of Jesus to God, for God to work on. A bit like when Jesus sends out the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, and he says, when they're not welcome or someone will not listen to their words, they are to leave that home or town, shaking the dust off their feet as they go. So our default position is to share the gospel with everybody, but verse 6 is saying, when somebody consistently, continually rejects the gospel and really pushes back on our attempts to help them, maybe the best thing to do is to pray for them, for them to the Lord, but to step back and focus on others at that time instead. So to summarise, Jesus tells us not to be judge others. We're not to judge in the condemning sense because we're not qualified for that role. Only God is. And God will judge us the same way as we judge those around us. So if we're harsh and overbearing, this will happen to us. If we're loving and merciful, then he'll be loving and merciful towards us. Before we try to help others with their sins, we're to look to our own hearts. We're to remove the plank from our own eye before helping with the speck in somebody else's. And when we do seek to help somebody else with the sins with which they struggle, we're to check ourselves. Is this really needed? Sometimes it will be, but it's good to check. Is it necessary? Will it encourage? Will it edify? Will it bring dignity? And our heart in all things is to be full of love, the love of God for the person we're trying to help. So let's pray as we finish. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us. We pray that you give us hearts absolutely full of love for you and one another. We pray you'll help us to be slow to judge each other and instead full of mercy and kindness, quick to remember that we are each forgiven sinners, wholly dependent on your grace. Amen.